title of the message this morning is, we must be a body. We must be a body. This is referring to the body of Christ. We'll look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 14. I'm going to go ahead and read this morning and get started. I know that it's a very busy day, and so I want to try to be as concise as I can be. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you would please stand in honor of God's Word as we read this together. Again, the title of the message is, we must be a body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12. The Bible says this, "For as the body is one, and hath many members." So it's using this analogy that you look, you know, I have multiple fingers, toes, two eyes, two ears. There's a diversity and a multiplicity of parts that make up a body, but I'm one body. Okay? One human body made up of many different parts. It's a singular, but it's also a diversity. A unity and a diversity. So you look at verse 12, it says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members, all the parts of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether it be Jew or Gentile, whether it be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. But now," skip down to verse 18, "but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleaseth Him, as it pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body?" If they were all one member, where is the body? That's the question that he's asking. So we're going to stop right there this morning and look at this a little more closely. Let's go, Lord, in prayer together. Father, we thank You, Lord, as always for this time. We pray, Lord, as we've already seen this morning, God, we've heard a powerful testimony in this video. Tyler Trotter sharing his testimony. God, we've heard God singing about and just in song, just singing about the glory of salvation, of knowing You, of redemption. God, as the song we were singing earlier, if everyone in this room can see me at my worst moments, it would be so humiliating. And we can all put on a good face. We can all get cleaned up and straightened up. And we come in here. But God, deep down, just as Tyler shared, we're all a wreck. We're a mess. With anxieties and insecurities and depression. All these things, we all experience them. And we all experience them to different degrees. But God, none of us have it together. Your Word tells us none of us have it together. God, we are broken. You have divinely declared it. You have identified it and told us we are broken. We read the Ten Commandments earlier. We can't keep them. We can't stop from coveting. We can't stop from lying. There's something, it's a slavery to sin. It's a slavery to doing wrong. And God, we need You to deliver us, to break that slavery, that entrapment that we're in, the trap that we're in. God, we need You to break those things and to free us and to liberate us, that we can walk in newness of life, that we can walk in Your Spirit, that, God, we can walk in power as children of God. Father, we all need that desperately. Everyone in this room, maybe we've received it, maybe we've not, but we all need it. God, I pray that You would move in this service, move in what we've read and what we're going to be talking about this morning. And we thank You, God, for this opportunity to be here. Weighty things will happen. Every Sunday morning, weighty things happen here, even up to and including those who decided not to show up. Empty chairs all over this room. They could have come. They could have known. And when they stand in the final judgment before You, and they say, "We didn't know. We didn't know what we should have done. That we should have believed. We should have repented." And You will tell them, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." You will tell them they could have known. They could have known. And there are people sitting in this room who could be here physically, but not here mentally. They could check out and choose not to be here mentally. Choose not to listen. They could have known too. They also could have known. Weighty things. When somebody dies, it's over. But as we sit here as living people, this little brief time, as we talked about last week, our life is a vapor. It's here for a little while and it vanishes away. God, as we're here for this little time as living people, things can change. Today is the day of salvation. Today, we do not presume upon tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Things can change while we're sitting here today. So God, I pray for every person here. I pray for their eternal salvation. I pray that they would be saved. I pray that nobody, no matter how everyone came in this room this morning, I pray that no one leaves here lost and separated from you. There's no reason to. It's so senseless. But God, it's also tragic if they choose it. So God, please work and move through your powerful Spirit. My words are not powerful at all. I'm completely powerless to stop these things from happening. It takes your Holy Spirit to bring the power to make these things happen. All the power is in you, and that's what we're relying upon this morning. In humility and in truth, we pray and ask all these things now in Christ's name. Amen. Be seated. As I think about this message this morning, just kind of summarizing some thoughts that I have personally, maybe you can relate to. I want to reach the world for Jesus Christ. I firmly believe the entire world needs Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The entire world needs Jesus Christ. This is my conviction and my desire. If you were to say to me, well, I mean, whatever, fill in the blank. If you were to say to me, well, I don't think the whole world needs Christ, you know, that's good for you. If Christ has done something in your life, that's good for you. If that's your religious view, there's other religions. The most popular view in America today is not Christianity. It's not atheism. It's what you call religious pluralism. It's to say everybody's right, which absolutely cannot be true. But you may say, well, I believe there are many ways to God, something to that effect. I am firmly convicted that the entire world needs Jesus Christ. There are not many ways to God, there is one way to God. And I could give you a lot of reasons for why I believe that. If you believe otherwise, I would love to speak with you about that. Because this is not this. My mind was the same as yours. I thought, well, who knows? Or maybe there's many different ways to God. I've been convinced by the Scriptures, by what Jesus Christ Himself said, that He is the only way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. I firmly believe the entire world needs Jesus Christ. And I want to reach the world for Jesus Christ. This is my conviction. This is my desire. I also believe this is the conviction and desire of many others, of pastors and missionaries and evangelists, Christian apologists. All true Christians share this desire and conviction. You don't have to be in ministry. You don't have to be have some particular role within the church. I think it is the desire of every Christian that everyone be saved, that the entire world be reached by Jesus Christ. I dream of 7.5 billion people receiving the gospel. Just like we saw one. You notice on Tyler's shirt as he was giving his testimony, it said 1/99th. You know what that's referring to? Jesus told a parable, just a simple parable about sheep. And he said, you know, which of you having 100 sheep, if one goes astray, you don't leave the 99 and go get him. He said, here I am. He came and got me. I love the humility. That's a powerful testimony, but he's not saying, I mean, he's exposing himself saying, listen to the things I did. But Christ came and found me. He came and got me. All the glory goes to Christ. That's where, you know, religion, you go find religion, but Christ, He comes and finds you. And when He gets a hold of you and brings you back, you're never the same again. And by the way, we were all of us are that one. We've all gone astray. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's not just Tyler, it's Jordan, it's Bill, it's you. I could go down all the way down the list here. It's every one of us.
Amen.
That's what he was saying. We're all dead. We're all dead. Until Christ shows up and says, just like he did to Lazarus, he said to me, Jordan, come forth. And I came alive spiritually. He can do that for you today.
Amen.
That's what he did. Do you know what a lost cause that was? I know. I really, really know what a lost cause Tyler Trotter was. His story is so common, and you don't come out of it. You go into that hole, you go into that pit, and you spiral. And then you die. You want to hear what's so disturbing about that? Then you die. Then the spiral continues. And it never stops. it never stops. That's what drug addiction does. That's what sin does. It ties an anchor around your neck and throws it in the ocean, and you're gone. That's what happens. And it's happening all the time. And as I hear that, he said, I didn't know how to be a father. I didn't know how to be a son. I didn't know how to get a job, how to keep a job. It's a complete disaster and a mess. And there's not anything you or I could do to fix that. There's not any program. There's not any community center. There's not any therapist who could do anything to fix that. And he gave testimony to that. There is nothing we could do to fix it. It took the Almighty, Infinite God to transform him. And when he transformed him, he was transformed. That's what happened. I dream of 7.5 billion people receiving the gospel and having their lives redeemed and transformed by Christ just like this. As I hear that, I say the whole world needs that.
Amen.
The whole world needs it. The entire world. Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, in Asia, in Europe, in Africa, in South America, in North America, Australia, Antarctica, throughout the world. The entire world. That sounds unrealistic and impossible, doesn't it? 7.5 billion people. That sounds impossible. But I think about men like Billy Graham. Billy Graham, one man who preached the gospel to hundreds of millions of people. I would love to be able to do that. I would love to be able to preach the gospel to hundreds of millions of people all over the world. I think every pastor, every preacher, every evangelist aspires to have that kind of impact, that kind of influence in the world. I think about people alive today, not just as Christians, but secular people alive today who it seems they have the ear of essentially the entire world. Men like the President of the United States, it's like he has the ear of the entire world. However he chooses to use it, the whole world is listening to what he says. I think about someone like the Pope. Especially for Catholics, he has the ear of a billion people. He has the ear of a billion people. I think about that kind of ability and to preach the gospel and to see the gospel come into someone's life, to see Christ come into someone's life, the Spirit come into someone's life, and having their lives redeemed and transformed by Jesus Christ. But I think about even beyond that, I think about other world leaders. Even celebrities. You know, there are people that when they say something, you think about Twitter, when they say something, people hear what they say. Millions of people, hundreds of millions, if not billions of people. I mean, even like celebrities. You think about somebody like Beyonce, Taylor Swift. When she tweets something on Twitter, everybody hears it. I mean, she reaches literally hundreds of millions of people all over the world. With the advent of the internet, we have this phenomenon where videos go viral. You're going to think this is stupid. You've been warned. Do you know how many times Gangnam Style has been viewed? Bill looks puzzled. I understand. That's to your credit, sir. And it's to everyone else's shame that you know what I'm talking about. It's a, for Bill's benefit or anyone else's, it's this South Korean pop star rapper prancing about for a few minutes, singing a song. It's not real deep. It's not real substantial. I probably should show it. That would really put it in perspective. Maybe June, have you seen it? Could you demonstrate for us what the dance looks like? Okay, she hadn't seen it. She would otherwise. He's definitely prancing about. That's kind of the whole point of it, right? Do you know how many times it's been viewed? 3.5 billion times. Now, of course, some people have watched it multiple times. I hope that's not you, but I saw it once and said, well, how about that? And that's all I needed to see it. So 3.5 billion times, but you're talking about half the world's population. Half the world's population has seen that. I have a question. Why not a sermon? That can be viewed 3.5 billion times. Why can't somebody listen to a sermon 3.5 billion times? Oh, is it too? It's too long, 45 minutes. Why not Tyler Trotter's testimony? It was 10 minutes. Why can't 3.5 billion people take 10 minutes to hear the truth?
Amen.
You know, I love dealing with the question about what about those who have never heard the gospel? I've preached entire sermons on it. I've taught lessons on it. I can talk to you about it. What about those who've never heard the gospel? Do you understand that question is becoming less and less and less and less and less and less important? I think that question will soon go out of existence because it'll be a moot point. More people have cell phones than have toothbrushes in the world. I've used cell phones in places. I've contacted people through email or by cell phone that you would think that there would be no way to communicate with anybody. The Gobi Desert in Mongolia, Sub-Saharan West Africa, out in the bush, you pick up a cell phone. I called my wife and talked to her. I mean, probably 100 miles out into the desert. More so than that, probably in the Gobi Desert in Mongolia. That question is becoming less and less significant because, as I said earlier, people could have known. People could hear. Where did Gangnam Style get all those views at? What website? YouTube. Would you like to take a wild guess on where we got the video for Tyler Trotter? YouTube. I don't know how many views it's gotten, but it's not gotten enough. People could have watched it. Please understand, it's not people don't believe because they can, because they don't have access to it. They don't believe because they don't want to. That's the cold, hard fact. That's the brute fact of it. They don't want to hear it. They swap left. They click on a different video. They don't want to hear it. Look at the empty chairs in this room. They don't want to hear it. But why not? Why could there not be a sermon? Why could there not be a testimony that goes viral and it exceeds, it goes even beyond the 3.5 billion and it hits 7.5, let's say 10 billion in case people watched it more than once. Why could there not be a video that goes viral that everybody sees? Why not? And as I asked that question, I posed that question this morning, I believe God answers my question with a question. And here's the question. When I say, why not? Everything is in place. Maybe I can understand why not 100 years ago, but today, there's a YouTube. It's all in place. Why not? Why couldn't 7.5 billion people hear this message, hear this testimony, hear this sermon, whatever it might be, to be reached with the gospel? Why not? And God answers that question with this question. Where is the body? In that scenario, where is the body? Verse 19. And if they were all one member, where were the body? Where is the body in that scenario? One superstar, celebrity, evangelist has a viral video. In this scenario where one person has this video that reaches 7.5 billion views, where is the body in that scenario? And here's an even deeper question. Who gets the glory? Who gets the glory? Do you know every day of Billy Graham's life it was a struggle? Huge banners. Come listen to evangelist Billy Graham. He'll be talking about Jesus Christ. And that really, really, really bothered Billy Graham. And I say that to his credit.
Amen.
He said, it's not about Billy Graham.
Amen.
Even when you don't want it, please don't let this distract you. Even when you don't want it, you can't get away from it. You cannot get away from it. Who gets the glory? Bill, do you think you could handle that? Do you think you could handle being the man who shares the testimony, who preaches the sermon that 7.5 billion people hear, and their lives are transformed? There's no way I could handle that. Boy, I really wish I could. There's no way I could handle it. I would be puffed up like that. I say that to say this: God knows exactly what He's doing and how to do it. God knows exactly what to do and how to do it. The internet was not a surprise to God. He's well aware of the internet. And He's well aware that He could have sent His Son during the internet age, during the information age, and Jesus Christ Himself could have had a YouTube video which the whole world saw. He didn't do it that way because that way is not better than what He did.
Amen.
And not only that, but He also knew what's coming next that you and I are completely unaware of, that no one, that the person who's going to invent it is just now being born. God was also aware of that. And He knows that is also insufficient. And He did it with His infinite wisdom the way that He did it because it is the best way to do it. He's incapable of doing anything that is not the best way of doing it. God knows what He's doing.
Amen.
And one person will reach the world. One person will reach the world. But it won't be Jordan Davis. It won't be Bill Ross. It won't be Billy Graham. It won't be William Lane Craig, a great apologist that was here this week. I enjoyed getting to meet him. It helped me to understand. Brilliant Christian apologist. He's debated everybody. All the who's who of atheist, apologist or atheist advocates. He's debated them all. And in my opinion, he has dismantled their arguments. And they couldn't touch his arguments. He is a... what's the term that I would use? He is a technician when it comes to making an argument and defending that argument, but he will not reach this world for Jesus Christ. It won't be through him. And you know what I found out this week? He talked about his Sunday school class. He said, you know, ask how many people attend your Sunday school class, and he said about 80 people. 80 people in a church of about 3,000 to 5,000 people. People pay hundreds of dollars per seminary hour to listen to him lecture and to teach, and he can only get 80 people in a church of 3,000 to 5,000 people to come to his Sunday school class. One of the things that I gleaned this week is this: we're all in this together. We're all struggling together as Christians. Nobody wants to hear the gospel. Whether it's from somebody with double PhDs, or whether it's me, or whether it's you, don't feel like you're inferior or you're an exception. Everybody struggles with that. Why don't more people listen? Why don't more people come? Every single Christian deals with that. Why don't they believe? Every Christian deals with that. No exception. This world will be reached by one person, but it won't be Jordan Davis or Bill Ross or Billy Graham or William Lane Craig or Rick Warren or fill in the blank. It will be Jesus of Nazareth. There's the one.
Amen.
Who's going to reach this world. This man. Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus Christ, the God-man alone. He's the only one that can handle it. He can have that kind of weight that He is the Savior of the world. It is going to be Jesus of Nazareth. That is the man through whom God is going to reach the world. But God is going to reach this world through Jesus Christ and us as part of His body. And that's why I say this morning, we must be a body. We must be a body. Almost like living cells which make up His body. The body of this man, Jesus Christ, in this world, active and living in this world, we are as living cells which make up His body. But how do we do our part? We have a function in this as part of Christ. We are in Christ as part of Christ. Christ is the head. We are the members. It gets down. It's not just hands and fingers. Think about how many Christians there are. There are hundreds of millions of Christians in this world. It gets down to the cellular level that makes up His body, and we all have a function. So how do we do this function? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 20 through 24. Listen to what this says. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 20 through 24. It says this. This is what Paul is advising the Corinthians on. He says, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord being a servant is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. You are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men, brethren. He's saying that as kind of a break to get your attention. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God.
Amen.
So what are we, as parts of the body of Christ, God is accomplishing this through one man, Jesus of Nazareth, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, it is this one man, Jesus Christ, the God-man, who was crucified, who died on the cross for our sins, who resurrected. He is so unique in human history. He is the man. He's the one that's going to reach this world. But we, as part of His body, we have a function to work within that in His mission of reaching this world. When He gave the Great Commission, do you understand it's so Christ-centered? He said, all power and authority is given unto Me. Go ye therefore unto all nations. Go ye therefore to all the world and teach all nations whatsoever I've commanded you. So we go on down. We see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 20 through 24. What do we do in our function as part of the body of Christ? Here's what we do. We go to work. We go to school. We go to the store. We come to church. We go home. We live life. That's your mission. Live life. But we live life indwelt by God. If you've been saved, you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
When I show up at work tomorrow morning, God willing, and I walk in my office with my coworkers, I'm not walking in there alone. I'm walking in there indwelt by God. That sounds crazy to me. That's exactly what Scripture says.
Amen.
We are indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. I don't go in there by myself. I don't go in alone. I go in with God. I go to work with God. I come home from work with God. I go to do jail ministry with God. I go to my house with God. I come to this church with God. Everywhere I've gone my entire life since I was 10 years old, I've done so with God. I attended high school with God, and I didn't listen to Him. My high school career could have been so different, but I didn't listen to what He said. But I was there with God. He was keeping me from a lot of things I wasn't even aware of. But He was working in my life. We go and we live life. We live life and dwell with God. And God is at work within us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ hidden in earthen vessels, scattered throughout the entire world. That is what our mission is as Christians, is to live life and dwell by the Holy Spirit of God, and dwell by the Spirit of Christ living in this world. And you take these earthen vessels, just this tabernacle, this body, with the glory of Christ inside. And you take that and you spread that throughout the entire world, through every believer, through every Christian. That's how God reaches this world. Now, this day-to-day life may sound boring or mundane or stagnant, but it's not. Something new is happening every day, all the time, perpetually. Something is happening to you right now as I'm speaking. And for the last scripture I want to look at, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. I want you to listen to what this says. And I'm going to close with this in just a minute. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Notice how Paul is including himself with the other believers. He's saying, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore I've spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Paul is constantly, even as the greatest apostle, probably the greatest Christian to ever live, you know, with the exception of Jesus Christ Himself, the greatest Christian to ever live, he's constantly including himself in the body, saying, I'm just part of the body. Verse 14, knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Listen to verse 15. For all things are for your sakes. He's saying it's all about the body of Christ. It's not about me. It's not about the Apostle Paul. It's all about the body of Christ. We must be a body, spreading, growing in breadth. Listen to what he says next. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. He's saying as this spreads, and as more people believe, and as more people become Christians, God is more and more and more glorified. And that's the goal. The glory goes to God. It doesn't go to the Apostle Paul. It doesn't go to Timothy. It doesn't go to Silas. It doesn't go to you. It doesn't go to me. But it goes to God, where it's supposed to go. Redound to the glory of God. But as he's talking about it growing in breadth, it's growing and expanding. It's expanded all over this world. We come to verse 16. Because this is happening, Paul says, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perisheth, the inward man is renewed day by day. This outward man is clay. It's aging. It's declining. This body, this earthen vessel, as Paul just said earlier in this chapter, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perisheth, the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which but for a moment. Are you going through some hard times? There's a purpose for it. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not on the things which are seen, but on the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's one of my favorite scriptures in the entire Bible. Read it, meditate upon it, in much more depth whenever you're outside of here. So what Paul is describing, he's saying that the gospel is spreading, but it's not just spreading. It's growing deeper and deeper and deeper in glory. Heavier and heavier and heavier. Weightier and weightier and weightier. That's what you're to be doing. I look at Emma here, who's been a Christian for 6 days. I'll use this terminology. And in her case, it also applies physically, but she's a lightweight, okay? Spiritually speaking, as a new Christian, she's a spiritual lightweight. But as time goes on, she's going to get weightier and weightier as a Christian. As she grows in her faith, she's growing deeper and deeper. A new believer is a pretty shallow Christian. They're a spiritual lightweight. But as time goes on, they begin to grow deeper and deeper and heavier and heavier. You know what the word glory means? Weight. Heaviness. The glory of God is a heaviness that when people see the glory of God, they fold under it and they lie before God. You know why? Because of the weight. It is like this weight that just... I mean, the only thing you can do naturally is just get on your face before God as flat as you can get. That's what John does when he turns around and sees Christ. It isn't that, you know, something physically traumatic has happened to him. He sees the weight of Christ in Revelation chapter 1 and just melts and lays it before him because of the weight of Christ as he's looking at him. We're growing in weight. We're growing in depth. We're growing in a heaviness and in a glory day after day through afflictions. When you're having a hard time, you're emotionally upset, you're struggling, but you know what's happening? You're getting a little bit heavier and a little bit heavier. And here's the analogy I want to use. Wherever God puts you, you go in there and you do the best that you can. And you always want to be heavier. You always want to be more substantial. Brady told me about this guy who lifts weights. He says he wants to get so massive that when he's walking down the street that the sidewalk is cracking under his feet as he's walking. He wants to put on that kind of mass as a bodybuilder. And I told Brady, I said, I want to do the same thing, but I want to be spiritually. Amen. That where I walk, there's a weightiness. That when I come into a room, there's a weightiness. And it's not me. I've got all kinds of eyewitnesses here, family that's known me my entire life. There's no weightiness in me. But there's a weightiness in God. And as God gets in here, and I'm not quenching the Spirit, and I'm not grieving the Spirit, when I do that, I get shallow, I get light. I'm becoming insignificant. But when that Spirit is working in my life, when I don't sell Him out, when I'm not grieving the Spirit, but I'm walking in the Spirit, I'm getting heavier and heavier and heavier. And let me tell you what effect that has. This is the analogy I'll use. Maybe you've seen this before. Before you go to the next slide, do you know how the moon stays tied to us? Is there a rope tied to it? I mean, how does it, you know, we're sitting here as the earth, and that moon's the same moon that Jesus had, that every human being has had. It's been there as long as the earth has been here, and it's rotating around the earth. Do you know why it doesn't just float off? And by the way, do you know it doesn't spin? We only see one side of it. It's locked in. It's gravitationally locked in. As we're spinning, we only see one side of it. I think Pink Floyd had an album about Dark Side of the Moon or something. That's what they're referring to, is that side of the moon we can't see, but it's locked in with us, but there's nothing holding it. It's just there, and it's precise, and it stays right there where it's at, and it controls the tides, it controls the seasons, all these different things, but it's locked in. Do you know what keeps it locked in? It's not magic. There's a reason for that. If you'll go to the next slide, it'll show you why. Do you see this? I don't know how well you can see that. This is like a bed sheet. And if you take if we were to stretch out a sheet and have it perfectly flat, there we go, those lights, that helps. And it would be perfectly flat, but you were to take something like a baseball and put it in the middle, you know what it does? It pulls everything down. To where if I were to take a completely flat sheet and I were to put a marble right here and one over there in the corners, they would stay where they're at. But if you put a baseball there, it's going to pull those in. Okay? It pulls down. That's where the mass of the earth is pulling down in the, really that's the space-time continuum that it's sitting in, but that gravity affects space and time. It affects that to where it's pulling down. That gravity is such a very weak thing, but when you have a huge mass, it can pull things in. Same thing's happening with the sun. Same thing's happening with the supermassive black hole in the middle of our Milky Way galaxy, is that we're getting pulled in and we're staying within orbit of this massive object, okay? So it pulls in. And the more mass, the more pull. You see, the moon's about a third the size of the earth, and so we're more massive than it, so it stays locked into us. But you see, we're staying locked into that sun, which is a million times larger than the earth. You fit a million earths in the sun, and we're staying locked into it, and that star is very small compared to that supermassive black hole in the middle of the Milky Way galaxy, and it's staying locked into that. The more mass, the more weight, the more influence it has. Do you see where I'm going with this? I want to live my life a nobody. But as I go through my life, in my workplace, at my church, with my family, wherever I go, I want to be continually getting heavier and heavier and heavier. And that friend over there who wants none of Christ, as Christ is flooding me and filling, by the way, Christ is infinitely glorious. He's infinitely heavy. When you put Him in, He pulls everything down. You know what happens? That person over there, I can't reach him. I can't get to him. But if I can get heavier and weightier and have more of the glory of God in my life, before you know it, here they come. Because I'm getting lower and lower and lower, and it's pulling them to say, what's different? You see, that's what's happened. That's what happened to Tyler Trotter's life. His life was so meaningless. But then he met Christ. Now his life is meaningful. There's power in that testimony. Because there's power in the Holy Spirit. There's power in that testimony. He's pulling other people to Christ. And I want to be as weighty as I can possibly be, to where people just say, I have to know Christ. There's something in my life being displayed. It's what's happening on the inside. It's coming on the outside. That weightiness. Where people say, I want to know about Christ. I want that weight and that heaviness. I'm tired of living a shallow life. I want a weighty, meaningful, glorious life. And Christ says, go get them all. I can come into every single person's life within this body and make you weighty, make your life matter. We're going to close with that this morning. I'm going to ask Bill, if you would, and Tori to come and get a song. I say all that this morning because I want us to be weighty, heavy, deep Christians. It's not just about the breadth. It's not just about 7.5 billion people. It's about the weightiness. Christ knew that. That's why He shows up outside of the internet age, outside of the information age, in a little nowhere place. Nowhere in the Roman Empire, this huge Roman Empire. He never goes to Rome. He says, I'll just hang out in Galilee. I'll hang out in this backwater nowhere and be a nobody, because He knows that He has an infinite weight And as he comes into this world, even in Galilee, even in Nazareth, even his own disciples say, can anything good come from Nazareth? Yes, it can. Because when the infinite God takes on a human form, when he becomes incarnate in this world, there's a weightiness that's going to pull the whole world to Jesus of Nazareth. That's the weightiness of Christ. I want us as part of that body of Christ to be a weighty, heavy, deep church, made up of weighty, heavy, deep Christians. No more shallow Christianity. Stop being shallow. Let's have some depth to us. We must be a body. You know what makes this church weightier? You becoming weightier. I want this church to have power, that when people come in here, they feel something. That's not just up to me. I'm part of that, but it's not just up to me. It's up to you. If you're coming in here with a weighty, meaty, spiritual life, the glory of God in your life, it's going to affect people in this room. I want you to be a weighty Christian. As we stand, as we close, we come together, we do this as a body. We're going to close with this.